Hello, this is Glenda Taylor. Welcome to the One and All Wisdom Podcast. In this podcast today, I've chosen to share with you the audio recording of my remarks at a recent conference where I was one of several presenters addressing the subject of peace in ourselves and our world. You will hear first a brief introduction and then my remarks.
I am so honored and happy to be your facilitator today and to be able to introduce you to Glenda Taylor. Glenda is an elder wise woman of 85 years. As director of the Fellowship of Comparative Religion, she brings to her talks wisdom from many spiritual traditions. She is also a writer, a podcaster, a retreat leader, and a poet. You can find more about her and find an incredible amount of work on her website, oneandallwisdom.com. And you can follow her podcast, the One and All Wisdom Podcast, everywhere that you can find those. Please join me in welcoming Glenda Taylor.
Thank you so much. It is so good to be here and to be here with all of you. I'm grateful for your willingness to allow me to join you at this special time. Before I begin anything else that I want to say, I would like to begin by saying how grateful I am that we right now are not in the middle of an active and devastating war zone, as so many other people in the world are, as we come together and speak of peace. We have the luxury of peacefully talking about peace. We have the time and freedom to consider certain questions about peace, such as, am I a peacemaker, a peacekeeper? Am I peaceful? Am I at peace? At peace. We use that expression when someone dies. We want to hear that at the time of death, she was at peace, or he died peacefully. But how rarely do we hear she is certainly at peace while she is living, or he lives peacefully? Why aren't we all living peacefully? Perhaps you say it's because of the horrible things happening in the world. True, every day a great new challenge, a new disturbing change, something else that drives fear right into our bodies. Fear is a great disturber of the peace. And especially, I would say, fear of the great unknown, as one famous scientist calls it. The fear of the changes that bring us into the unknown and maybe into the unknowable, the unthinkable. This, and with dealing with all the changes we do see and know around us, keeps us today in a constant state of desperate urgency. And in such agitation and fear, when things in our society are changing so rapidly, we as individuals and as a society trip into snap judgments and old familiar ingrained prejudices and habits, into disagreements and conflicts. Change is a great disturber of the peace. But growth involves change. However awkward or difficult change may be, think about how unsettling it is for teenagers and for their parents during the changes of puberty when hormones are changing. Or think about two-year-olds when their development reaches a new exciting stage of self-realization, but when we say they are having the terrible twos. Change really does disturb our peace of mind, especially if we resist it. Older people who resist accepting and adjusting to limited changes in their abilities reduce their chances for peace of mind, really. And there's a great deal of resistance to social and cultural changes in our world today. But refusing to face squarely the realities of changing circumstances, burying our heads under the blanket of ignorance or self-absorption, does not result in peace or peace of mind. Before World War II, for example, there were those in our country who wanted peace at any price, who were willing to accept the aggression of one nation against another, saying, never mind, as long as we can still be safe and be at peace. But war came to them anyway. We do not keep the peace by ignoring divisions that tear things apart. The oldest roots of the words for peace have to do with binding together or fastening together. We make peace when we bind together opposing viewpoints or opposing tribes or nations. How do we do that? The biblical saying that there will be wars and rumors of wars is familiar, but interestingly, it concludes with a telling expression. There will be wars and rumors of wars, but, quote, even so, you must not be alarmed. Or as some translations say, see that you are not troubled by it. How, you may ask yourself, are we to be untroubled or not alarmed by war, rumors of war, or the constant commentary and images of war that we are unceasingly subject to today? Even though supposedly our own country is at peace, we are not at peace, though we are not at war. How are we to have peace of mind when we seem almost on the verge of civil war in our own country? And those who have suffered and are suffering right now during war might say to us, you have no right to peace of mind while we are suffering this way, while children are dying or starving, while homes are destroyed, while earthquakes or tsunamis or tornadoes or terrorists or school bombers or another terrible disease or pandemic has destroyed the peace in my life, in my world. How can you dare to be peaceful? That seems a fair question to most of us. And so we want to do something to be a peacemaker. But how? Those ancient roots of the words for peace give us another hint. The roots of the word for peace say that being peaceful means being, quote, free from excessive passion and having a quiet mind. That tells us that while we can be, must be concerned, even passionate about the challenges that are happening, if we are to have peace and be peaceful, we must be free from excessive passion. We must have underneath our passionate commitments a quiet, steady determination and clarity so necessary to be effective at peacemaking. When rescuing a drowning person who can't swim, lifeguards must be settled in their own behavior, not be flailing around the same way the drowning person is doing. The rescuer or the peacemaker must know their business and be about it, no matter what the other person is doing, no matter what else is happening. So must we. We must anchor ourselves in incredible calm when dealing with really difficult situations or people. Say a person in the middle of a panic attack, or someone totally caught up in an emotional storm of one kind or another, beyond reason itself. We must slow down our knee-jerk reactions and our excessive passions, admitting that we don't yet know everything, may not ever know everything. We can only do this, I think, if our frame of reference, our ultimate frame of reference, even our spiritual frame of reference, is large enough to encompass paradox, the idea that two opposite things can both be true at the same time. To encompass the fact that the universe is creatively dynamic and ever-changing. And perhaps most importantly, that there are limits to our ability to know or understand the complexity of what is happening and why. If we can achieve that sort of open-mindedness, we can, I know, have an ongoing underlying peace of mind no matter what, even if on the surface of things we're disturbed. Just as the waves on the ocean are rising and falling, but underneath is a vast sea of calm, we too can experience and observe the waving patterns of disturbance on the surface of our minds, or our bodies, or our circumstances, while resting in an assurance of a great sea of calm underneath. An assurance that even if we can't see into the depths of the ocean, even if we don't know about all the amazing life that goes on at the depths, even if it's all mysterious to us, we can rest easy, as we say. Some indigenous people and some ancient people have used the words great mystery instead of the word God. This is because they don't posit a separate person or entity of God out there directing things, but rather they recognize and honor an ultimate way that things are that is greatly mysterious, and that we do well to align ourselves appropriately with this great mystery. Either way, whether we take refuge in the concept of a god or a goddess or a great mystery, we need a peace that passes understanding. So for today, the thing that I'd like to say to you is this, because I know time is running out for me. If we have an unrealistic, vague, broad ideal of peace in the world, where there are no longer differences or causes for conflict, that's a pie-in-the-sky project doomed to failure. There are always going to be differences, potential conflicts. It's necessary for us to be realistic and to understand that peacemaking is an ongoing work in progress. Successful peacemaking or peacekeeping or being at peace within involves a constant concern for the creative appreciation of differences rather than the elimination of differences. We need rather to be about the business of developing skills within ourselves and in the outer world for conflict resolution. We need to learn how to be with ambiguity, to celebrate diversity, to make room for creative paradox as a given. And in so doing, we can find a steady inward peacefulness, that peace that passes understanding, that allows us to continue to work effectively for so much needed peace in the outer world. So that's me for now. I want to close with a passionate prayer for peace to come for all those in the world right now who suffer most without peace. I pray that compassion and wisdom and healing reconciliation touch everyone, everywhere, with forgiveness and hope and actual newness of life, and that peacefulness abound right now. Amen.